Thank you for that special. What a blessing. Amen? Amen. All right, let's get our Bibles. We're going to turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to bring forth a Father's Day message, of course. What a blessing it is to be a dad. And it's just been just a wonderful journey being able to be a dad. And I think of my parents, I think of my mom and dad. And again, I'm grateful for my dad. I'm thinking about, you know, dads and how they stack up against moms. Well, we each have our roles. I saw something funny. It was just a video that was put out. My wife showed it to me. A mom and a dad, they were out somewhere outdoors, and they had a couple of little toddlers, two or three, I don't remember exactly, but that doesn't really matter. And they had them between them, and mom and dad were on either side, and so this thing was already choreographed. And what the mom and dad did is, right at the same time, they both ran this way, one, and the mom ran this way, and the dad ran that way. And who do you think the kids did, or what the kids did? They all went with mom. Well, we got to hand it to mom. Moms are tremendous, but we as dads, and that's not to sell dad short, not at all. We have our role, and what a blessed thing that God has given to us as dads. Amen? That we can have the influence that we have. I have a lot of precious memories, a lot of special memories as a son growing up, and my dad. And yeah, my dad wasn't perfect, but I'm sure grateful for him, and he taught me a lot of great things, and I'm very thankful for the dad that God gave to me. And then, likewise, to have the opportunity of being a dad and all of those just special times raising our kids. You know, you can't help but go back, and I do this, but you can't do anything about it. You just can't help but go back and wish I'd have done this better. I wish I would have spent more time with, you know, the girls, or if I, with my sons, you know, you always second guess things. And, you know, nobody bats 1,000. Nobody has, you know, hit the perfect score with all of that. So you do your best. And but what an opportunity that we have. Now, we're taking a look here at Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll get through this chapter here. And really, what I've entitled it is just on being a great dad, on being a great dad. This is Solomon, who wrote Proverbs. He wrote all of the Proverbs, except for the last couple. But God used Solomon in so many ways. And Solomon, of course, was a great example up to a point, and then he kind of went south in a number of ways. But God certainly gave him a lot of wisdom. And we're going to take a look here at Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll take a look here at these first four verses as we start off in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my word. Keep my commandments and live." Let's stop right there. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go forth on this message of being a great dad. Father, we thank you. And we're just so grateful again for the opportunity to be here. It is such a blessing. Lord, help us never to take it for granted. May it never just get old or routine. May we never get mechanical with the things that you've given to us. And so we just thank you for the opportunity, the freedoms that we have to gather together. Thank you for our country. Thank you for the things that you've given to us. And of course, today, as we celebrate dads and honor them, we thank you for fathers. Thank you how you set up the family. We thank you for dads and moms and all that they have the privilege and the honor to do of raising children, of just having a household. And so again, I thank you for the experiences you've given to me with my dad. Thank you that you allowed me to be a dad. And Lord, I just thank you for our children. And Lord, we take a look here in your word, and you use Solomon And he speaks certainly through these Proverbs as a father, but ultimately it's you as our Father that we see speaking to us through your word. So help us, Lord, to be good sons and daughters. Help us to yield to you, to submit to you. Help us to have hearts that are desirous of your wisdom, of discernment, that we might walk in a manner that's pleasing to you, that we might be a testimony for Christ. And so help us to take these words of wisdom and allow you to apply them to our hearts. And so I pray that you'd bless this message today. Thank you for the time that we've had up to this point of being able to sing unto you and to praise you. Thank you for those that are visiting here. Thank you, Lord, for just again the opportunities that we have to fellowship with one another. And we thank you for this special day that that we can be with family. Some can be with their dads. I know that my dad is with you, and I'm grateful for that. But I just thank you that we can have some time with family today. We pray that you'd bless that. So we just ask now that you'd speak to hearts. I pray for anybody that's here without Christ. Lord, would you work in their hearts? Show them how they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then, Lord, we pray that we would just yield to you and you could do your work in our hearts and in our lives. So I pray that Christ would be lifted up and glorified, and may you please be here in our presence. And we pray that you would have the freedom and the liberty to work in our hearts. So get in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first point I want to bring up is just really it's Solomon making this invitation to his children. And of course, we see the Father speaking to us as his children of just gathering around. And I see in these first four verses of, that's what I've titled this first point, is just gather around. Solomon is making a plea to his children to come together. He says, I'm about to give you some good things. I'm about to give you some good stuff. And it just brings me back to, or takes me back to when, you know, my dad and my mom, but especially my dad, since we're talking about Father's Day, there'd be times when he'd gather us together as kids. I can see me doing that with our kids and my wife. And you know, that little meeting, hey, come on, everybody, let's gather together. And, you know, you're thinking, okay, is this good or bad? We can all relate, right? And sometimes we can already get like a little hint of it just by the expression on the face of dad. Oh, he's kind of serious. This is not good. This is probably like some kind of work project or something. This is not going to come down well. So I liked it when there was a big smile on his face. Yeah, what's that? What? We're going to Disneyland or, you know, something like that. It was great to be able to tell our kids that, you know, that, hey, we're going to go off on a trip. And guess what? Part of that is going to be Disneyland. And it was just, oh, you know, giggles and laughter and all of that. And so it's just great when you can gather the family together and you have some good news to bring. So these are some good words here that Solomon is bringing forth as a dad. Some good words, some good doctrine. I hear God saying that to us as we read this passage. I think that without a doubt, as we go and expand on that, the Lord is saying, I want to gather you around. That's why I think it's God saying to us that it's good for you to gather together often. That's why it's good to be here on Sunday mornings. But it's good when you can come back Sunday night. I've always said Sunday night, Sunday night has its own particular feel to it, doesn't it? It certainly does. It has, you know, I mean, certainly it always has a family feel, but it's even more intimate on a Sunday night. There's just another feel to that, another layer that you experience as a child of God when you come on that Sunday night. And then I'll say this on Wednesday nights. You're saying, well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to say that. You're supposed to try to encourage people to come to all the services. But you know what? It's happening less and less. Right? Have you noticed that? Some of you aren't getting around, according to that by that response. If you get around, you notice that a lot of churches do not have evening services. A lot of churches don't have anything in the middle of the week. They may have some home get-togethers, and that's good. That's fine. But you know what? There's just nothing that substitutes when we can all get together. And it's just good. It's just good. Now, I'm not trying to guilt anybody into this. I'm just saying, you know, God did something in my heart. I don't know other way to put it. I'm not trying to tout myself. I'm really not. But God got a hold of me and my life as a young Christian. And I just got so a hold of it when I heard my pastor was David Woods, and I heard him preach, and I just got lit up. Now, I just give all the praise to God, but I went, I'm all in. This is great. I don't remember saying those words to my head, in my mind, but I thought, I want to be here. This is wonderful. How often do you meet? Well, we come back Sunday night. Does he teach something different or the same thing? No, it's a different message. And Wednesday night, actually in that church, it was Thursday, or was it Tuesday? Thursday, I think it was. Yeah, we had an off night because we were meeting in a rented facility. At first we were in a school, and then we bounced around a little, but I thought, I want to come back. And then you go out and do what? Knock on doors? What's all that about? And I was just so excited because God just did something in my heart. And for these 44 years, nearly 44 years, that's what it's just been for me. I love it. I love to be around God's people. I love to hear the word of God. I didn't always do it for the right reasons. I didn't always come expecting something. My mind might have been off somewhere else many a time. But I just love to be here. I love to be in those churches all through the years. And I'm just saying this, that when you miss out on a meeting, you miss out sometimes on something that maybe you needed. Thomas wasn't there when the Lord came into that upper room where the disciples were, and he showed them, and it was one of his post-resurrection appearances. And Thomas wasn't there. And when they tried to tell Thomas, he says, I don't believe it. I won't believe it unless I can put my finger on the print of the nails in his hands and his side. And, well, he missed out on a big meeting, didn't he? So sometimes we may miss out on something that God really wanted to show to us. And I just want to encourage you, just gathering around is a good thing. It'll help you, and it'll be a blessing to you. You know, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 is still in the book. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And that day approaching is very near. Amen. And so this is just a good time to gather together. It's just a good time to have fellowship with one another. Solomon then goes on to say, "For I was my father's son. I was a child once." But these are the things that will help you to grow up. You need these things to grow because we no more children. Let's not be children anymore, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. God wants us to become grounded. He wants us to become solid. He wants us to become mature and to grow spiritually, just as we watch our children grow, just as I'm hearing your grandsons are growing. I mean, they're growing up. That's how it's supposed to be for us, spiritually speaking. Amen? Certainly. He encouraged me to keep his commandments, and I sought to do it. That's what Solomon is saying. So let's make sure to gather around, folks. Let's make sure to get together. It's important for you dads to make sure that you gather your kids around and teach them God's word. Maybe I got to say that one again. Okay, I didn't hear anything. I think it wasn't working or so. Dads, it's important to gather your family around so your kids can hear the word of God. You know, even if you have a busy schedule, even if you'll just open it up and just read a proverb or read a psalm or read a few verses, you know, that'll instill something into them. You know, listen, I love sports, and it's fun to just go and play a whole bunch of sports and do that and run around with your kids and be there for them. It's important to be there with your kids. They need to know that you're supporting them. But boy, you know, sports, I love it. But it doesn't even come close to being around the things of God. So if you can spend some time with the things of God, write it down. Say, you know what, I haven't been doing that. Or I can speak to grandpas here. You're dads, and you've got some grandkids that maybe you have a little time with them. And it'd just be good to just open up the Word of God and talk to them how good God is. Oh, have you heard about this story? I was just reading this out of the book of Judges. And your grandsons or your granddaughters will look and, oh, Grandpa, what? and you have an opportunity to gather them around and to make an impact in their lives. So let me just encourage you, when you can, I just encourage you to come and to be a part of this church family as often as you can. Listen, I do understand, and I've said it before, and I say this as a qualifier, that I understand some of you can't make all the services, the work schedules, and sometimes you've got an early rise the next morning. I certainly understand that, and I don't want to lay anything over anybody's head, because there were times when I had to work on some weekends, not on a regular basis, but I would be on call at times, and I never liked that, but it would be every 6 weeks I'd have to be on call, and once in a while I'd be there at church and I'd get a call, I gotta go. I told my wife and I'd take off and go, and I hated that, but it was sometimes that's a part of things. So I do understand that. But when you can, it's important to be here. Make this a priority, because if you'll make the things of the Lord a priority, God will bless that. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, it says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." In that early church, they would find themselves together practically daily. And, you know, we try to get together. We have a lot of things going on through the week, and it's just a blessing to others when more get in on it. When there's a whole lot of people getting in on it, it's just a blessing. So he says, gather around. And then here in this next point, he says to get wisdom. Gather around. I want to teach you something. He says, I want to just exhort you to get a hold of wisdom. Get a hold of it. Verses 5 and 6, it says here, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not. Don't forget it. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Don't go off in another direction, the Lord says to us, and Solomon saying to his kids as well through these words. But it says here in verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Folks, he's saying, and the Lord is saying to us, get a hold of it. Get a hold of wisdom. Get it at all cost. Just get it. Now, don't do it illegally, all right? But just get it. You know what? I mean, there are some things that we can relate to. I mean, you know, when the iPhone 12s came out, I mean, it was like, oh, I got to have that. And boy, did the lines form to get those iPhone 12s. And, you know, when 13 or 15 or 47 comes out, people are going to line up in lines to get a hold of that. You know, that's just our nature. We just got to have these new things. And boy, when you ladies hear that there's a Black Friday, big, huge Macy's sale, you are there, right? And pity anybody that gets in your way, right? But then how about us dads? I mean, you know what? I mean, we just can be horrible about this, probably exceeding the ladies when it comes to, like, you know, the NFL Sunday ticket or whatever they call it, the package where you get to watch every game, every single game. And I could watch every game that's being played every Sunday. And the Red Zone, you know, channel, I get that too. And if I can find more, I'm going to get them all. And I just can't. You know what? The Bucks are playing the Cowboys, the season opener, and the Seahawks are playing the Colts. And we just know we've got it all memorized. And guys can be so bad. Dude, I've got this channel. Go. I just can't wait. We get together and we'll paint our faces up. And we can get kind of radical about these things, right? Yeah, we can. I mean, you know what? And I'm all for getting all excited and all ecstatic and hyped up about the things in this life. But they shouldn't eclipse the things of God. Boy, we should get excited about the things of God. Everyone, you know, again, we've all been obsessed with something in our lives. We just had to have it. But Solomon has that sense of urgency, and the Lord certainly has it for us. I think of James Dyson. Dyson, of course, you think of vacuum cleaners, right? Ladies would know that. The men are like, what's a vacuum cleaner? What is that? But he was obsessed about succeeding. In 1978, and he invented the first bagless vacuum cleaner. All you ladies could have told me that, right? And by 5 years later, it took over 5,000 prototypes before he perfected his product. And as a result, he became the first billionaire inventor. That's when the men perked up. The men were like, oh, okay, I'm in on this. I can learn about vacuum cleaners too. But I mean, there was just some, I'm just not going to give up. And there was this drive and this intensity, and you know, we need to have a bit of that. That's what Solomon is saying about wisdom. Listen, more than anything in this life, get wisdom. Get the wisdom that only God gives us. Boy, have an insatiable desire for it. Verse 7, he says, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the main thing. Get that wisdom from God. Not worldly wisdom, but we're talking about the wisdom that comes from God. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. With everything that you get, just get it. What if we could only have one wish, folks? What would we ask for? It reminds me of a joke. There were three men that were stranded on a deserted island, and when a bottle washed up on shore, they open the bottle and a genie appears and offers three wishes. And the first wish is to be taken to Paris. And the genie snaps his fingers and the man suddenly finds himself standing in front of the Eiffel Tower. The second man wishes that he were in New York City. And with the snap of the genie's fingers, he finds himself by the Statue of Liberty. And the third man, he's now lonely on the island, and he looks around and he says, I wish my friends were back. Be careful what you wish for, right? Listen, don't waste your life wishing for the wrong things and wanting the wrong things. And yeah, every one of us has things we like. It might be cars or sports or crocheting. I still can't imagine that, okay? But it might be something along those lines. And we just get caught up with it, and everything's got to be a cooking channels. I mean, everything is on TV anymore. But listen, we got to be careful that we just don't waste our life on all of this, but that we get focused on that. Verses 8 through 13, it says, exalt her, talking about wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She, being wisdom, will promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. When you and I seek after wisdom, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, or narrowed is what that word means. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Folks, this can only come by prayer, that as we seek God and ask for his wisdom, you know, in his goodness and his mercy, I'm sure he gives us some wisdom to be able to work through situations even when we don't ask for it, because he's a merciful God. But he does tell us, and he commands us to ask for it. And we know in James chapter 1 and verse 5 that he will give it to us. He'll give us an overabundance, a great supply. And it says that he won't even chide us for it. He just wants to give it to us in 55-gallon drums. He's so good, but we have to ask for it. We have to seek it and treasure it and lift it up. That's what we see in this passage right there that we just read. Verse 9 says that when we do it, it will promote us. It will just lift us up. That's when we just seek after God and his wisdom. Verse 10 that we just read, talk about a fulfilled life. That's a fulfilled life when we get God's wisdom. The world's always saying, I just want to be fulfilled. I just want to be fulfilled. Well, listen, get God into your life. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then just start to call upon God and ask him to work in your heart and seek his wisdom. Then you'll find great fulfillment. And for those of us that have gone down that road, you say amen, because you know that that's just the road that we're supposed to go on. And then verses 11 through 13 that we just read through, verse 11, so you've heard the truth, as he says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. I've shown you. I've made my offers to you. As you read through Proverbs, you see that wisdom is always making herself or itself always available to every one of us. But some just walk right past wisdom, the wisdom of God. But God makes it so available. And verse 12 speaks about how much it'll bless you and I. And verse 13, again, is just another reminder of you and I just getting a hold of it, just getting a hold of this wisdom. And then we go on, and in this third point, God, the Lord, speaks to Solomon about speaking to those that he's speaking to, his children. He says, teach them to stay away from evil company. Teach them to stay away from evil company. Now, certainly we say that to our kids because we watch who they're running around with, but hey, us adults, we can fall into that same trap. And we can even be a stumbling block to somebody if we're not walking with Christ. And so we've got to be careful of the company that we keep. Watch out about evil company. Look here in verses 14 through 19. He says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Again, a dad speaking to his children, be careful about going into the path of the wicked. Ask God to give you discernment. When you see that that person is not heading down a good road, you don't want to hang around them. I'm sure Solomon was looking at his kids. I'm sure if he was speaking to young Rehoboam, he's saying Rehoboam and his other kids, be careful who you're hanging around with. How many of us have had that little lecture with our kids? How many times was that lecture given to us? And rightly so, because mom and dad saw, that's just not a very savory character that you're hanging around. That kid will take you down a wrong road. Don't hang around him. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So Solomon is just reminding his children, don't even go unto their paths. Don't go that direction. There are those that are out there that will take you down a bad road. It might look pleasant. It might look attractive to begin with, but it's just not a good path. And pray that God gives you wisdom so that you'll be able to see that. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen, we've got to be careful as dads, and the influence that we give, the influence that we create, and as granddads and great granddads. Somebody is looking up to you. You've got a grandson or a great grandson or a great thing to see. An influence for right. They're not always thinking that, but that's what they need to see. They don't need to see, you know, grandpa acting like a fool. They don't need to see grandpa trying to do, you know, be just ridiculous. We don't need to go down that road. They should see something different in us. They should see that we love Christ. They should see that we want to do things the right way. Amen? Listen, if your friends that you're hanging around with are named Dirty Daryl or Beer Belly Bob, I think maybe you're hanging around the wrong crowd. That's just a guess. Verse 16, be careful. It says, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Now, I'm not saying every lost person is trying to make you fall, but ultimately they're going to lead you to off a cliff because of their lifestyle. Some of them do want you to just fall into their pattern of life, their lifestyle. There are some that are out there. You got to just be careful about that. I mean, I just was hearing the other day about, old so-and-so, he seems to do right. And then these old buddies come around, and then it's like he's just a teenager again. You know, we all have that in us. And sometimes if we keep those connections with the wrong people and they come back into our life and they, hey, how about we get together? We'll go get a couple of brewskis. Hey, we'll just have a good time. It's like, oh, yeah, that won't hurt anything. And then we're just down a bad road. So I just say this to you, be careful. And now I'm not talking to little kids here. I'm talking to dads. Be careful about a road you go down. Be careful about who those old friends are that you think, well, yeah, it'll be good to touch bases. Well, yeah, for the opportunity to maybe turn them toward Christ. But be careful that they don't turn you down a road that you don't want to go down. And so I put that out there, and that's what Solomon is saying here. I really see that with folks that are just major to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I really see that with folks that just make that commitment. Boy, we want to just be a part of things, and we want to just be around. And you know what? You start forming friendships. I've heard just people say, well, I go to the church, and, you know, nobody just wants to make friends with me, and I just can't click with anybody, so I find my friends are more out there than they're in here. You know what? That's pretty hard to do in this church. I mean, you guys are way too friendly. It's a good thing. There really is a great level of friendliness here. And when I tell people at the door, sometimes I was with Brother Gary the other night, and we were knocking on doors, and Brother Gary says, listen, you won't find a friendlier church than Cornerstone Baptist. Now, listen, we're not perfect. We're a bunch of sinners that have been saved by God's grace. And we have old natures, and we can be cantankerous. Not myself, but I know a number of you can. We can be all of that. Listen, we are far from perfect. But I tell you one thing, there's just a good spirit of reaching out and being friendly. And I don't see it as being forced or surfacey. I mean it. It just runs deep. And this is just a great commendation of you folks that you make people here that come and visit feel welcome. And that's what it ought to be. And so, like, when Gary was telling this guy, you know, hey, you need to come, it's the friend, you think, well, that's the normal pitch, right? Everybody says that. But I'm thinking, it really is true. It really is true. And that's how we ought to be. We ought to be, and when you're here, you know what? It's just important to get involved, be a part of something, because there's no better cause to be a part of than the things of Christ. There's just no better cause than to be in a church that is trying to reach the community, that is trying to tell others about Christ, that we don't want to just keep it within these four walls. We're trying to take it outside of that. You know that's what I preach, and I try to do it myself. And again, I don't always hit at the highest levels, but that's what we want to do. We want to encourage people. You know, if you talk to a waitress in a, you know, we just talked to this waitress over there at Texas Roadhouse a week ago, and the conversation just opened up, and we told her about Christ, and she said she was a believer, but she was listening to what we were saying, and we just had some great fellowship. And then there's been a number of others that didn't know Christ. I said, would you read that tract? Because that tells you how to be saved, how you can know Christ as your Savior. And you know, there's just nothing better than to be a part of a group of people that want to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the law of physics applies to spiritual things as well. Momentum is a very important thing. When we band together, we create a momentum for the things of God. You just do. When we gather together, it just... You know, it's contagious, and you get excited. Oh, wow. You know, you come Thursday night, the other night, 25 people here. That's exciting. It's exciting when there's only two or three. It really is. But when you get 25, it's like, this is great, and this is exciting. So let me just wrap up this point by saying, yes, we are to stay away from evil company, from bad influence, yet we still want to reach out to them. You still want to reach people for Christ. You know, you don't want to become some monk and you can't have any. No, that's not what the Lord did. The Bible says that Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. He went out there he loved everyone. He died for everyone. And he went and he wasn't a part of their sin. Now, listen, I don't think we should start a martini ministry. I don't think that's biblical. Okay, but I think we should have a heart for people that are lost, because we were once lost. And we're no better than anybody else. We're saved and on our way to heaven. But boy, we have some great news for other people, don't we? The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. We're to be different. We're to be a different group of folk. People ought to say, man, they're different, but you know, it's a good different. I don't really care for what they stand for, but there's something different about them. And they find out you know Christ. So let us live this by example and then teach it to our children. So we're to separate ourselves and we're to go tenaciously after wisdom. And certainly that's done through prayer. But there is another means that is so vital, and that is embracing the Word of God. Embracing the Word of God. Take a look now at verses 20 through 23. He says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. My son, attend to my words, attend to them. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Well, what is that saying? You want to keep them inside you. Keep them in the midst of your heart so you think about them. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. We're to desire it very greatly. And sometimes, you know, we come to the point where we just got to be honest with the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, I'm just not desiring it very greatly. Well, then sometimes you just got to take that step and say, I'm going to go ahead and do the things that will bring that about. Because we've got to avail ourselves of the resources so that God will bless it. If he says that he sees that we take that step, you know, I mean, I do try to hide the Word of God in my heart, but then I stop and think, man, I haven't been doing that too much. I get caught up in getting busy. And I was sitting in my office the other day, and I said, well, you know what? You dummy, you preach about it all the time. Just keep the Word of God right in front of you. So I had this nice little, 3x5 cards, but they're in a nice little pack of about 100, and you can just flip them over. And I thought, well, I just put that in my truck. I've got a nice little compartment on my dashboard, and it's just kind of sunken in. And I thought, that little guy stands right there, and it doesn't go anywhere. And so just these last few weeks, I've just been having some verses back right where I can see them all the time. Because sometimes I just forget to do it. You ever get so busy that you just, oh yeah, my wife and I always say, oh, would you remind me to make a phone call when I get to church? And I'm sure my wife's like, well, why don't you remind yourself and make a note, okay? You know, but sometimes she'll say, could you remind me? I'm like, hello, you know, if you're putting it off on me, then what, I'm going to get to blame? I'm going to be the one to blame because I didn't bring it up? it's just like you just start getting, you know, a little older. Don't comment. Don't say amen there. And you know what? You just start forgetting some things, and you got to start writing them down. And I just forget to do certain things. It finally hit me, and I was like, okay, don't put this off. Right now, get that thing, take it out to my truck, put it in there. I was exhausted after doing that, by the way. But I put it in my truck, and it's been there. And now, you know, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, I've got it locked in my mind right now. And it's just great. And then I've got some other verses. And you know what? It's just good for us to take the effort and just put the Word of God somewhere where, you know, if you haven't been memorizing verses, just do a couple for the next few months and just have them places. Put them on the refrigerator because that's where you'll really learn it well. Most of us. Some of you didn't get that. But listen, you know what? If we'll do that and we'll embrace God's Word, then when we get our hearts where they should be, you know, we're honest with the Lord. I'm not quite there. Help me. Then, you know what? Eventually, you won't be just doing it out of obligation. Eventually, you'll be doing it for the right reason because you love it. And God will put that love in your heart if you're there. You know how often we have to take medicines that are terrible to the taste. And I found that the ones that taste the worst really are the best. If it tastes like transmission fluid, it's probably good for you. Okay? If it just tastes too candy-like, you're only fooling yourself. It's not going to do anything for you. It's got to taste horrible, right? Yet we take it. Why? Because we know we need it. And sometimes, you know what, we need to get into this book, and maybe it's not always pleasant to the taste, but you know what, it becomes more and more, it just becomes sweeter to the taste. And yeah, there are some things that are going to hit us right in the face, but that's what we need. It'll become a joy eventually as we open up this book. Here's a test. When you open up this book, is it like opening up a bottle of milk of magnesia? Or is it like looking at a filet mignon with all the fixings? Amen. Amen. You've got to just ask yourself that question and just answer it honestly. And God, you'll kind of get an idea of where your heart's at. Psalm 119 and verse 103 says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." It ought to be sweeter than honey. It ought to be, oh, man, I haven't read the Word of God. I can't wait to get home. Yeah, it's going to be late, but that's okay. I'll stay up later. I'm going to read the Word of God. Boy, does that come? Those thoughts come to your mind? When you wake up, oh, I can't wait to get to the Bible. I can't wait to get to the Word and see what God has for me. You know, if that's the last thought we think when we think of the Word of God, then we just need to go before the Lord and be honest with Him. And say, "Lord, help me. I want your word to be, I want it to be something so special that I just look forward to getting close to thy word." Psalm 112 and verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." He delighteth greatly in his commandments. Dads, let's embrace the word of God so our children will want to embrace it. You know, if they see that we love the word of God, listen, they usually pick up on all the other things. If we just love, you know, Seahawk football and we're painted, we're sitting in front of the TV and we look like a big Seahawk and we're painted, you know, green and that weird looking lime green and the blue and all that. And, you know, I mean, your kids are going to pick up on that. They're going to be goofballs for the Seahawks as well, right? They're going to be just these crazy fanatics. But if they see that you also have a love for the things of God, and they see that you're in that Bible, they see that you like to talk about it, they see that you like to talk about Christ, guess what? That'll spill over onto those around you. If it's done for the right reasons, God will bless that. And then finally, let us do as the last passage of this chapter tells us. That way we'll get through this whole chapter, is to... Well, I'll read the verses first, and then I'll give you the point. Here, verse 24 through 27, he says, "Put away..." Did I read all the verses before from 20 to 23? Embracing the Word of God? I'm going to read those again, because I don't know if I read them all. But embracing the Word of God, that last point. Let me just read those verses from 20 through 23. "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And then this last part, he says, "Resist wrongdoing." When he speaks to them, verses 24 through 27, the last part of this chapter, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on." That means keep them fastened on the right things. "Let thine eyelids look straight before thee." Keep your eyes fastened on the things of God is what he's saying. "Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left that can get you into trouble. Remove thy foot from evil." He's saying, listen, have a goal, have a focus, and stay tightly reined into the things of God. That's what he's saying. And so that this just very clearly, this last point is to resist wrongdoing or bad behavior. That's what Solomon is saying to them. And that certainly goes to us as dads, as adults, moms, every one of us. Let's be careful about how we use our mouth. Let's be careful about, you know, the things that we say. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." We ought to just be wanting to encourage others with our mouth. Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." What a beautiful setting that is. What a beautiful picture that is. And that's what our words should be like. They need to be Christ-like. That doesn't mean there's never a time when you have to, you know, confront somebody and you have to deal with something that's not easy. Yes, we're supposed to do those as well. But we're supposed to do those in the right frame of mind. We're supposed to do those in the spirit of Christ. Amen? Yes, we are. And so we're to keep our eyes on the path. You know, we talk about this path. "Teach me thy paths, O Lord." Looking straight before thee with purpose, a goal. Again, having our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verses 26 and 27 that we finished up on, don't let your feet go heading down a wrong direction. Don't go down a wrong direction. Again, it's kind of back where we were in those verses earlier in the middle of this chapter. He's kind of reiterating a few of those things. But don't put yourself in a wrong place. And you know, we all know it, that sometimes, we can put ourselves in a wrong place. Ladies, if you go around, you probably, if you know you shouldn't be buying shoes, you probably shouldn't go wandering through a mall, okay? I probably shouldn't be driving down the road where Baskin Robbins sits, okay? Because that's a killer for me, right? So listen, we got to just remember, we don't want to go somewhere where we shouldn't go. Be careful where our feet take us. Let us purpose, dads, to be an example to our kids, or grandpas, as I said, or great-grandpas, to be examples to our grandkids. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6 says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Listen, Solomon, you see the setting. He's gathered his family around. He's speaking probably to his sons, but all of his children. And he gives them some good wisdom about doing the right thing, about encouraging one another, about living godly, about embracing this book, about seeking God in prayer and asking Him for His wisdom. And so, dads, I make that appeal to you, to every one of us, to myself as well. I'm still a dad and a grandpa. You know that we have an influence and we still make an impact and an impression. And there are those that are watching you. And so, you know, we can all have a bad moment. Hopefully that moment doesn't take us a place where we're really going to regret it the rest of our lives. And so maybe you're on a path right now that you shouldn't be. Then I would say stop and just go before the Lord and say, Lord, help me. I'm not on a good road, whether it's this reason or that reason or that reason. But I want to change it because you've spoken to my heart. I want to be the influence that you've called me to be, the influence to my kids as they're growing up, the influence to my grandkids as they watch grandpa. Whatever it may be, God knows. The Holy Spirit speaks to hearts in ways that a pastor never knows. I preach the word, and the Holy Spirit, He's doing His work in hearts, sometimes so unrelated to anything I'm even talking about, because that's God. And so I realize that I just want Him to just use the words that I speak, but He's speaking to hearts. Now, maybe you're here today, and you don't know Christ Jesus as your Savior. It was prayed earlier that if you're here, you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, then I want to make that appeal to every one of you, not just dads, certainly dads, but everyone, that if you don't know for sure if you died that you're going to heaven, Jesus Christ died for you. He died for your sins. He came and lived a perfect, sinless life. This was God who became a human being. Jesus Christ is God. And He lived a sinless life and died on a cross, was buried, and rose again. And He did it for every one of us. And we simply have to come to Him and receive this great gift that He's given to us with a heart of repentance, the lack of a better way of saying it. And I want to just encourage you to trust Jesus Christ. But I also encourage dads to maybe get something right with the Lord or whatever it may be, but the rest of us as well, because we can certainly apply this. Ladies, you can certainly apply this to yourselves as well, even though we're talking about Dad's Day today, Father's Day. And so with that, let's go ahead. Let's bow our heads at this time. Brother Ray's going to come up, and Vicky's going to play the piano, and we're going to sing a hymn in just a moment. But maybe through this message about dads, that God has maybe opened up some things through this chapter, Proverbs 4, and the influence that we have. And maybe there's something that God has revealed to you or I. And may we respond to that and do the right things. So with that, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a hymn. And if God's spoken to you and you need to respond, I hope that you'll do that today. Father, we thank You. We're grateful. Thank You again that we can have a Father's Day. What a wonderful thing that You've given to this world, to have families, to have moms and dads. And today we can honor our dads. And Lord, for those of us that are dads, help us to realize the responsibility and the accountability that we have. Help us to do the right thing. Help us to be an example of the right things in this life. Lord, help us to seek after wisdom as Solomon urged his children to do. And as you urge us as your children to do, may we seek your wisdom. And Lord, help us. We pray that we'll respond the right way. If there's somebody here without you, Lord, they're not saved, I pray you'll work in their hearts and bring them to Christ. We thank you again, and we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.